only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Why do I always get the broken chair? This on a popsicle stick.
All right.
I'm not going to let it throw me up my game.
You're lucky we give you a chair.
I'm a radio professional. Yeah, lucky you get me out of my cage. Hey, it's 2 minutes 53 seconds after the hour 12, and this, the month of January, year of our Lord 2003. It's Monday the 20th, MLK Day. We're here, we're live from the studios of Hot Talk, Tinetti, KTK, and lovely, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by, along with Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, Sarah Dillon, Matthew Peterson, and y'all. We appreciate you coming by. If you're at work today, or if you are off work and just gathered around the Victrola, as you should be, then we welcome you. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. 503-250-1080 today, or 1-800-727-5955. Let's first of all say that all those guys who go marching in North Korea, their little the soldier formations they have, are creepy and unnerving because they do that weird little bouncing thing. You know what I'm talking about, where Kim Il-jong is out there watching the troops and they do this thing of going by looking like they're on pogo sticks. It's all very unnerving. Anyway, coming up later on today, we got, what the hell do we have? CNN Radio's Gary Baumgartner is going to join us, tell us the latest about these, I guess, like five additional warheads or some crap they found in Iraq. CNN Radio's Jim Rubin's going to be here. We'll talk about the Golden Globes, happened yesterday. I got Joe Millionaire news, by the way. It's funny how I've just become, man, I've been converted in the space of like 10 days from the most anti-reality TV program person you could ever find in the history of the world.
To the biggest sucker on radio?
Seriously, I'm just a bunny, man. I've just been sucked right in like it was an osterizer. Just pulled me straight in. I was out when they pulled me back in. Anyway, so we'll talk about the, and it has nothing to do with his bulging package and Speedos. And quit sending me that. Jesus, quit sending me pictures of the Joe Millionaire guy all greased up, freaking big marble bag hanging out there. I don't want to, I just don't need it. Especially not today. I'm still trying to digest all this carne asada from yesterday. Do you ever go to dinner at a Mexican person's house and it's like they got the great food and you don't want to keep eating it because you're full, but you have to keep eating it because it's so good, and you start shoveling it down like there's no tomorrow, and you start wanting to rent out additional stomachs, or you want like bovine stomachs or something, so you got several more compartments to put it in? And you know, it's like having dinner with somebody who's Italian. They're just, and they never believe that you're full. Would you like more carne asada? No, I'm full. No, please. No, you have to have more. Oh, and they just pile it on. Oh, and this salsa. Let me talk to you about the salsa this woman made. We were having a dinner at her place. And it was her. It's a long story. I came to be having dinner at a child's birthday party. I don't really want to talk about how it happened. It's not the sort of thing you typically see me at. But anyway, so we're at this woman's house last night, and she's from Guatemala, and husband's from Mexico City, I think. Anyway, so they're making all this food, and it's like that salsa that's just unbelievably good, but it just eats a hole, like, right through your stomach. You know what I'm talking about? And it's like you want to keep eating it because it's just mind-bogglingly great, but you can feel just holes appearing, like in your whole torso and your abdomen. Anyway, so I don't. So I'm still recovering from that today. All right, anyway, coming up later on today, we get the top five whitest musical acts of all time in honor of MLK Day. Top five whitest musical artists of all time. Jolie from the front desk will be here later on. There's, I think, probably a 60 to 40 against chance that we hear from Richard Nunn for the WB today. All that's coming up. This is Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Where's Tim? Has anybody seen Tim?
Little
golden-haired leprechaun guy? Is he around here somewhere?
I actually saw him a little while ago.
You saw him on the way to where?
He was...
Tim Riley!
No, he was... Well...
Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom!
Yeah, he's actually down in his new Mercedes.
No, but he's got the... He does. He's got the Subaru this week. Hey, Ian's getting a minivan, by the way.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that? Ian's getting a minivan. That rat bastard. What goes around comes around. Your ass can't be driving a $90,000 Mercedes, $90,000 Mercedes every week. They're getting a little bit of karma.
Yeah, why don't you go to the phone?
Well, it doesn't say anything on the screen. It's just blank.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, you're on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
We have moved the KOTK newsroom to the 2003 Mercedes SL500, which goes for $89,755. An Aegean blue, spelled A-E-G-E-O-N, blue.
Are you even coming in to do the show today, or are you just off to someplace better? Are you just driving to Puerto Vallarta, or...
Well, Sarah and I might go somewhere.
It's okay. Is Sarah your gun mall now?
As a matter of fact, I'm going to pass you the phone because I'm about to put down the top, which apparently goes down in 15 seconds. The trunk opens up, and the top disappears into the trunk. The trunk shuts again, so hang on.
Well, yeah, okay. Oh, all right.
Hello.
Where are
you? I feel like I'm getting this thing dirty right now. I'm scared sitting in it.
Where are you?
We're in front of the building.
So you're not actually driving anywhere. You're just not here so we can actually do the show.
No. Oh, wait. The top's going down. No, I'll be in there in a minute.
I'm stopped.
Oh, my gosh. We're in a convertible and it's 35 degrees outside.
You can have the heat. See, the windows go up automatically and the heat goes on.
Oh, here, I'll pass you off to Tim.
Is this cooler or what?
Yeah, I'm sorry. And forgive me for bothering you. I should have just... I don't mean to intrude upon your life with a little show that we do here.
This is cool. She's with me. Let's drive.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, this is going to be one of the cars at the auto show. By the way, the all-new SL55 AMG model with 493 horsepower will also be at the show. So hopefully I'll have a chance to drive that one. But here we are sitting in the convertible in 40-degree weather. Maybe we should just go somewhere.
Yeah, you do that. So we'll just plunge ahead here with a little show. Don't you worry about it. You don't need to come up or actually work or anything. I'll just do all the news myself today. You stay on your own schedule there. There's Tim Riley reporting live from a $90,000 Mercedes parked in front of the building and not actually in the KOTK newsroom.
Yes, yeah, I kind of knew you were going to get off to a bitter start today if that happens.
What the hell, man?
Sort of hoping he was going to be back up before the show started.
Yeah, that didn't really work. Well, here's an opportunity. Wait, hold on. Here's an opportunity to do something else, though, while we're waiting. Is he coming up or is he just sleeping? is he just going on a joyride around
say,
the block?
Really, you know?
All right, well, in any event, let's see. Where is the email I want to read here? I teased this on the weblog yesterday. All right, so this... where the hell did it go? Where the hell? In the name of sweet Christ. Okay, go to the AV and bring up a cut called Gangsta. Which I sound really dorky. Even just saying Gangsta makes me feel retarded. Is it in there? G-A-N-G-S-T-A?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, I've lost the email that actually... Oh, here we go. This is from a guy called The Low. This is a listener of ours. His name is The Low. You can find out more about his group and get this song at darknessee.com. That's darknessee.com. I didn't know about this. This just arrived in my email box yesterday. This just arrived in the inbox yesterday morning. And so I'm going to play it for you now. This is an original composition by Rick Emerson listener, The Low. So go ahead and roll that, Matt Peterson.
Rick Emerson, it must be true. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turned off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5 and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, but I got the traffic you Sarah-Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks fit, yo, that's him. Impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's a radio gangster. Yeah. And he's not having it. The radio gangster. Yeah. And he's not having it. The radio gangster. Yeah. And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah, I'm not happy.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
I had to put the top back up again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Times is hard.
All right.
Let's take a moment to acknowledge how great that is, by the way.
That was good.
I'm impressed. That was pretty good.
Don't we have the greatest slash most warped audience ever? You can find that. If you want to get that, you can go to darknessee.com. It's www.darknessee.com. That's by Rick Emerson listener, The Low, there. So there you go. We'll play that again later on. Radio Gangsta. Excellent. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
And this news is brought to you by AT&T Broadband Internet, the high-speed way to surf, shop, download, and email 25 times faster than 56K dial-up service. Speed up your internet with AT&T Broadband. Happy MLK Day. A pity the black guys who park the cars after work, but the lawyers they work for who are white get the day off.
Seriously, we were just, I shouldn't even mention her name, but we were just talking to one of our coworkers whose dad is a lawyer, and they had gone to the office to pick up some papers or something today, and the lawyers, of course, all get the day off. Guys out front parking cars, all black, all working. And the guy's like, don't you get the day off? No. Keys, sir. So they, I'm sure that's just the way MLK envisioned it.
And listen to this, they took a survey and found out that hospitals are open today. Imagine that. But they expected to close. Emergency rooms are open, too. They said garbage pickup will be delayed, but they picked mine up on time.
Well, isn't everything open today?
Yeah.
I mean, everything's
except
open unless it's a school or it's some sort of government agency. And us, for some reason, like our front office is closed
the
for reasons that I can't really.
Gone.
Well, because the salespeople are all weasels and look for any opportunity to take a day off. But schools close and government agencies close. But it's not, I mean, it's sort of like half a holiday to me in that. Like, it's a holiday, and there's just enough stuff closed to make your life inconvenient. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
And then it had nothing to do with MLK or celebrating the holiday. It doesn't matter to me. You know, whatever. It's just, it's one of those things where they've just closed enough things to make your life sort of difficult. They're just enough to make it a crapshoot as to whether the things you need to do to function on a day-to-day basis are going to be open today or not. It's like everything should either be open or everything should be closed. You shouldn't do this half-and-half business.
The president and his wife honored MLK Jr.
It is fitting that we honor Martin Luther King in a church. Because, Gregory, I believe, like you, that the power of his words,
Gregory.
The clarity of his vision, know. The courage of his leadership occurred because he put his faith in the Almighty.
And because he didn't try to get into the University of Michigan.
Meanwhile, Colin Powell's breaking ranks with his boss again. The Secretary of State supports affirmative action. But understands how W get misguided and doesn't.
I'm a strong believer in affirmative action. In the Michigan case, whereas I have expressed my support for policies used by the University of Michigan, the president, in looking at it, came to the conclusion that it was constitutionally flawed based on the legal advice he received.
Oh, please.
And
I was just going to say, and as we noted last week, that they chose, because today's the day we celebrate MLK Day, but his birthday was actually last week, and they chose Martin Luther King's day of birth to file that ridiculous court paper to try to get affirmative action thrown out, which, and I think, can we all agree that we know that Condoleezza Rice didn't actually write that? Can we all just cop to that we know she didn't really write it, that somebody else wrote it, and it got her name stuck on it because they know it's going to be more palatable to the public that way? We all know that that's the case.
How does she feel about this affirmative action thing? She gives her typical wishy-washy response.
He has made a case that race-neutral means ought to be tried first, and he has, as president, appropriately left to the court the question of what the limits of the Constitution are in pursuit of diversity, and I think that's the appropriate place for the president to be.
Which is not only misleading, but an out-and-out lie, because if Bush, if he was really interested in leaving it to the court's discretion, and if he really had all that faith in the court's judgment, then he wouldn't have filed a court brief with it anyway. Here's something else that only we have mentioned. We're going on like 3-4 weeks now where Bush has been talking about affirmative access, which is a phrase that means nothing. What does that mean? Because they asked him point blank after the whole Trent, after he fed Trent Lott to the Wolverines, they said, well, remember, because on BET, the guy asked Trent Lott point blank, they said, are you in favor of affirmative action? And he said, yes, I am. And like, bam, they had 5 different cases there where he had ruled against affirmative action. Man, they just hacked him into little pieces with a machete. And so then they turned their sights on Bush and they said, President Bush, are you in favor of affirmative action? And what did he say? Man, you want to talk about, I mean, baby splitting on like a Solomon-esque level, where he just said, I'm not in favor of affirmative action, but I'm in favor of affirmative access. Which is a phrase that means nothing. It's this entirely Orwellian newspeak that has absolutely no definition to it at all.
Well, Rice says you don't have to look too far to see the president supports diversity.
I particularly like the fact that this president has chosen to speak out on behalf of diversity, and I can tell you something. It's not only the way he governed as governor of Texas and continues to govern as president. It is demonstrated in the way that he put together his own administration.
Right. He lets light-skinned black people walk around the White House. Kind of beat it.
It's incredibly diverse. If you happen to be light-skinned and, you know, and just to the right of, you know... Anyway.
Time for the Saddam watch, anyway.
Some people say that I'm a bad guy. They may be right. They may be right. But it's not as if I don't try. I just f*** up. Try as I might. But I can change, I can change. I can learn to keep my promises, I swear it. I'll open up my heart and I will share it.
Any minute now.
We're going to get to Nick here in a moment, and we'll go to the House of Rick East. This is your Saddam Watch for Monday.
Anyway, Saddam Hussein says he's not losing any sleep over a possible U.S. invasion of his country. I can assure you, and you can put your minds at ease, that I really find it difficult to sleep, he told senior army officers, including his son, Kuzey, the supervisor of the Republican Guards. I fall asleep as soon as I put my head on the pillow. I don't need sleeping pills, unlike some other officials we hear about. And I don't get insomnia like some people do. But Saddam, who's ruled Iraq with an iron fist for 2 decades, admits sometimes sleep does elude him. I sometimes can't sleep when there's an idea going around in my head, and I haven't put it on paper. But I fall asleep as soon as I get to write it down.
That's great. That's a total F.U. Graham, is what that is.
But meanwhile, Donald Rumsfeld on the defensive... calling human life a treasure, the high cost estimates of the upcoming war baloney.
The lesser important is the cost in dollars. Human life is a treasure. Office of Management and Budget estimated it would be something under $50 billion.
Outside estimates say up to $300 billion.
Baloney.
Meanwhile, Iraqi physicist Dr. Fela Hassan says UN inspectors came to his house and acted inappropriately.
It terrified my family. They scared my children. This is totally inhuman.
Meanwhile, Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York, says we should support British and Americans together war on Iraq.
Certainly, I feel there is great solidarity between Prime Minister Blair and President Bush, and I think that's fantastic, and I think it's very important that the UK and the US support each other. We've done it before so many times.
The Duchess is here to congratulate Harley Davidson on the successful Weight Watchers in the Workplace program. She is the national spokeswoman for Weight Watchers.
Man, is she totally like the Shemp of that family
or what?
She's completely the Zeppo of that entire group.
All right. That's today's Saddam.
There's your Saddam watch from Monday. I'm not for the gassing of Kurds and whatnot, but you got to admire the style of Saddam Hussein calling a press conference just to announce, quote, that he sleeps very well at night. That's sending a total pound sandagram, is what that is. We're going to get Tony in a moment. A full-time listener in Portland is Nick. What's up with you, man?
Dude, that rap song is probably the best song I've ever heard in my life.
So isn't that the greatest? I didn't even expect it. They just sort of arrived in the email. I was just checking my mail and it's like, dude, here's a song for you. And I get people that send me links to songs all the time, or they send me little audio files. And I had no idea it was actually an original composition about the show. And then I played it, and it's actually good. That's the thing about it. So if you want to find out, go to darknessee.com. There's a whole, that guy, the low, there's a whole group, I guess. They have a whole... They do the hippity hop and so forth. So,
yeah, any chance that you or the Tim Riley Factor and those guys get together and they put out a CD or something?
Yeah. Yes, it'll be just like when Onyx and Biohazard got together.
Hey, how about a live album?
Okay, Tim Riley comes alive. Okay, yeah, well, yeah, we're going to put together a collaboration any minute now. Going to be a regular Rick Rubin thing. All right. Let's go to the House of Rick East. It's Tony. What's up with you, man?
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
I'm okay.
I'm just reading the paper, and it says Martin Luther King Jr. holiday doesn't draw much notice in the Valley. And this is where I live, dude. This is the breakdown of the amount of people where I live. There's 4 major counties right around here, and each one of them, it's 97%+ white.
Yeah. Yeah, Wisconsin doesn't really scream diversity somehow.
Oh, not at all, dude. It's just... That's freaky.
I mean, really, and you could have, I mean, any place where the biggest export is hat-shaped like cheese, I mean, you can pretty figure, nobody with soul's going to live there. Like, why? Why would they? It's like, there's no, There's no, I cannot see any non-white person in America waking up and going, you know, I ought to live in Wisconsin. That's where all the happening things are.
Aren't they into Lawrence Welk champagne music up there?
Yeah, that's fine.
It's just a lot of, like, lederhosen and oompa.
And fish fries and chicken fry sundaes and...
Chicken fried fish,
yeah,
fish fried
everything.
Chicken,
they do
beef fried ham.
Though.
Garrison Keillor is somebody up there?
Yeah.
You're a dick.
All right, we got more on the way. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. You're a dick. I like how Tony boils it right down to its... He distills a thought to its barest essence. Yeah, we'll play that Radio Gangster song again coming up later on. Also, the top five whitest musical acts of all time, Jolie from the front desk. Big thing on the Golden Globes. We'll have Jim Rupon, also Gary Baumgarten. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's the Queers. South Talk 1080 KOTK. Stay there.
KOTK.
So what is Agent Blue? Is that like that ice blue? Is
yeah,
that what that
the,
is?
It's the same color as Ian's was.
Well, it's the same car. Isn't it? Is that the same Mercedes Ian was driving?
Yeah, it's the same car.
So
is it Agent or is it a Gian?
I don't know.
I think it's a Gian.
I don't have the owner's manual.
I think it's a Gian,
in
like the Aegean Sea.
That's correct.
Have you seen the owner's manual for this Mercedes? It's like 500 pages long. It's unbelievable. It's huge. It's like that Sears spring fall catalog that comes out. So is it true that Ian's got a minivan, though?
Yeah, he did not look happy out there.
He's a family man.
Yeah. All right, here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And it makes you wonder if George W. Bush is, I mean, is he intentionally hypocritical or does he just have the attention span of a goldfish? Because he's calling for these so-called race-neutral policies at universities on the very same day, that he's talking about how we still have a long way to go when it comes to race relations and equality in America. I mean, is it possible that there's an evil android, George W. Bush, just like in Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park? Probably not. All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. It's Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent and all-around good guy, Gary Baumgarten. What's up with you, Gary?
Well, I'm so glad you were asking that question rhetorically and not of me.
No, because evil androids, that's more of a Dick Uliano thing. That kind
that's
of
right.
Is, that's his fork there.
There you go.
Let me ask you about Iraq, because now, correct me if I'm wrong, but haven't they found more of these sort of empty warheads now, right? We've got, 17 or something of them now?
Yeah, they found some more empty warheads, and I suspect that as time goes on here, we're going to find more things. I think that's what's happening is that the United States is probably giving the weapons inspectors some leads to follow. And I would not be a bit surprised if they find other evidence. And I think that what's going to happen is that when we see the report from the UN weapons inspectors next week, we're going to find out that they will have been frustrated in their attempt to be able to get access to the areas that they really want to get access to, and that they have been frustrated in their inability to find any evidence of what has occurred to the weapons of mass destruction that they had in country before the weapons inspectors were tossed out, and the United States and the United Kingdom in particular are going to take the lead in urging the United Nations to take action, military action at that point against Saddam Hussein.
Now, here's what I think a lot of people are wondering, which is when they said that the United Nations have been frustrated in their attempt to find the so-called smoking gun.
Yes.
That sort of just seems like another way of saying, well, they just haven't found it. And the Bush administration releases these statements where they say, well, we know, quote, for a fact that they're there, but it seems to me that you either find them and you have the proof or you don't. And if you don't have the proof, it seems like it's an iffy case in any way you slice it to go forward with military action.
Well, if you are, your political persuasion is such that you do not want military action, then it is an iffy case. If your persuasion is that you do want military action, then it is pretty conclusive. The inconclusivity becomes conclusive given the fact that they knew that the weapons were there and there is no documentation of their disposal, which you have to do with these kinds of weapons. There's no documentation as to what happened to the weapons. So therefore, I mean, they were there. Now they're not there. It's more of a shell game, I think. Yeah, I believe that's what the United States is going to argue. And I, you know, and the point of the fact is that, you know, whatever the United States believes to be true is what it is, whether it is or it isn't.
So we're coming up on, what is it? It's the 27th now. So it's a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
And from when the 27th rolls around, what kind of window? I mean, it was going to happen. Is it going to happen within days of the 27th? Is it conventional wisdom, or is it going to be weeks? Is it going to be? Is there any way of figuring out a timeline for when something would happen?
No, I think that the U.S. administration might be tempered for a little bit, depending on what kind of reaction it gets from the United Nations, because you do want support. You don't want to be totally isolated, practically, out there. And you know, today I listened as Secretary of State Powell addressed the United Nations Committee on Terrorism, the Counterterrorism Committee, and he spoke mainly about Iraq, and he said that you have to be forthright and you cannot be taken, you know, from your course, you know, based on what others may say or others might do. You have to do the right thing. But it seemed to me that while the words were there, his heart wasn't in it. Not that he didn't believe what he said, but I think he realized that he is speaking, you know, to deaf ears. There's nobody in the choir there that's listening to what he has to say. I that was just the sense I got as I heard him, what appeared to me to be just going through the motions.
All right, CNN Radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. Thanks, Gary. We appreciate it. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Well, this reporter joined 20,000 people downtown Portland Saturday as one of the city's largest peace rallies ever. This compares to 12,000 who turned off the Gulf War back in 19.
Jesus, was anybody else downtown? Did anybody go to the protest on Saturday? That was huge, man. It was unbelievable how many people were down there.
So in case you missed it, they had some pretty good speakers.
This is not a war to bring democracy or liberation to the people of Iraq, the people who will be the chief victims of this war. The United States has had 12 years since the first Gulf War to show what it thinks of the Iraqi people, and it has killed them with its own weapon of mass destruction, which is sanctions. Sanctions which have taken the lives of anywhere from a quarter of a million to a million Iraqis.
Now, the crowd was reminded of our own domestic difficulties at the moment.
This is a month in which we should expect to be lied to. Look for the smoking gun. Look for the Gulf of Tonkin, the phony incident that led to that was used as an excuse to get the Congress to support the Vietnam War. Look for a phony Soviet MiGs in Nicaragua scare, which they used to justify the Contra War. Look for a phony intervention. The United States claimed that the Soviet Union was invading Afghanistan, and therefore the U.S. should support the Mujahideen there. In fact, the United States was aiding the Mujahideen in Afghanistan 6 months before in order to bring the Soviet Union into Afghanistan. And what followed was 10 years and 2 million lives and everything we've seen in September 11th and everything else. But that was paved the way for that was paved by the U.S. lie.
You know the thing, I was thinking about this weekend. You know the deal with George W. Bush in Iraq? George W. Bush in Iraq, it's like the girl you know that you shouldn't sleep with, but you just do it. You're just helpless. It's just inevitable. It just happens. You know, and I imagine it's the same for women, but we've all had that circumstance in our life where there's somebody you just know you shouldn't sleep with, and you know that it's just going to end badly, and you're like, and you put it off, and you delay it, but then it's inevitable. You just eventually give in and do it anyway, and then, of course, it all goes wrong. That's exactly what Iraq is. George W. Bush knows in his small little brain that he shouldn't be invading Iraq. He knows that it's all going to end badly. He knows that it's probably... if any number of Americans get killed, it's going to end in his being booted out of office. But he just can't help himself. You know what I mean? It's like when you put the bag of crack down in front of Whitney Houston, allegedly. She knows she shouldn't do it, but she can't help herself. It's like the crack is there, and you can distract yourself by going off to do feather dusting, or you can go to the gym and do laps in the pool, but you know eventually you're going to come home and smoke the bag of crack, just because it's there, and it's so tempting, and it looks so good, and you just want to do it, and eventually you give in to your baser urges. That's exactly what Iraq is. You know, meanwhile, North Korea, what if North Korea had oil? I mean, I would like to see some, it's like DC Comics, like, we used to do that parallel world comic called What If, and it was like some sort of, you know, like, well, what if Superman had landed in Nazi Germany or something? They used to do this What If. I mean, what if North Korea had oil? Christ, we'd already be over there. We already would have annexed them if they had oil.
Yeah, well, you know, if we need more Uncle Ben's rice, we'd be over there immediately, but we got plenty of that. There's no reason for it. So then the crowd is asked, and we all united for this war.
Half the people of this country have no retirement account, and then they tell us, united we stand. The bankers and businessmen keep their children out of harm's way. They send working people to fight a rich man's war. With one hand they rob our wallets, while with the other they put a rifle in our hands to go kill people just like us in foreign lands. And they justify it all by saying, we're all Americans, united we stand, and we're here today to say, no, we won't stand it anymore.
So here's a good one, too. In Washington, former Attorney General Ramsey Clark spoke at a rally calling for W's impeachment.
Has George Bush committed impeachable offenses? Has he assumed the power to wage aggressive war by himself on his own decision? Is that an impeachable offense? Then let's impeach him.
Right on. Man, I can't overstate the number of people that were downtown, though. You realize 20,000 people, I saw between 20, I mean, they expected 10, I saw... Yeah. Anywhere from 20 to 30, depending on which news source you were looking at. You know, really, that's the entire population of Kennewick, Washington. That is the entire population of my hometown. That was in, like, I don't know what, a square mile or two downtown. It was unbelievable. Because right. I was taking the, I was taking the bus downtown, and at a certain point, I finally just lied to the woman. I'm like, I have to go to work. You have to let me out now. Because the buses were diverted, like, half a mile in every direction because the streets were clogged. Because it's like, you see the parade. And I'm thinking, well, that's a big parade. And then we pass another street, and I can see more of the parade. And then it was like Chinese New Year. Just went on and on and on, expected to see one of those big papier-mâché dragons. I mean, there were people everywhere. It was immense.
And people from all walks of life, too.
Seriously.
That, not the usual protest or, you know, the ne'er-do-wells.
No, and it wasn't just a bunch of reeking hippies. There were, you know what I saw a huge faction of downtown on Saturday? I saw a bunch of old people.
Yeah.
You know, those great senior citizens with the, you know, those Catherine Hepburn types with the don't attack Iraq buttons that they were wearing. So, I mean, it was not just the usual gang of suspects. The other thing about the protest on Saturday is the paper here said it was between 20 and 30,000 people, which is exactly what they said it was in San Francisco and D.C. So that makes me wonder what the turnout really was in San Francisco and D.C. Because, you know, I love Portland, but, you know, there's no way we outdrew D.C. in protest numbers.
Right, right.
I saw a list of countries in which there were protests against the war in Iraq, and it was immense. It was like 17 different countries where these things were going on. So... And for once, it actually got media coverage, because, you know, normally this sort of thing is just whitewashed so we can have more news about Jennifer Lopez or something.
Exactly. Meanwhile, in Washington, there was a pro-war march.
Now, who has a march for war?
Well, here's a guy with a megaphone yelling, get this, we gave peace a chance, we got 911.
We gave peace a chance. We got 911. We gave peace a chance.
Jesus. Oh, that's brilliant.
So, is that just like one, joined them in unison?
Is that guy like one guy walking in a circle there? Yeah. Just marching around hoping somebody else will come hang out with him?
Oh, listen to this. Here's a guy that came all the way from Wisconsin to join the pro-war rally.
I'm a Republican.
Was he high?
I'm in favor.
You have a friend named
war.
Rob?
I'm 110% against terrorism. I back
and
President
math.
George W. Bush.
Okay. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. We got Corey coming up as well as Cameron. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show with the top five musical acts of all time that are white. Top five most white musical acts of all time coming up. All right, we got it. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KTK.
Oh,
1080 KOTK.
And this top five whitest musical acts of all time has been difficult, too. It was a long, hard road to narrow it down to. Well, we got five and an honorable mention.
And Matt and I already disagree.
Well, you're already picking fights with me about it, too. We were having a huge... It took us like an hour over there. We tried... Because, you know, when you think about, you know, whitest musical acts, I mean, America's created some incredibly, incredibly white music over the years. And so even getting it down to six was just... I mean, we could have done 50. I mean, without question. We could have done that easily.
A lot of people in America are white.
No, it's... But see, it's... There's white in skin color, and then there's just white in
All right, well, let's just make everybody
just
wait and see
dull.
How wrong you
it's
are about your list.
Just dull. All right, so here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Let's get, Corey in the coupe. What's up with you, man?
Hey, Rick. You know what? I've been listening to people talk about North Korea and Iraq being the same.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. North Korea came out and said, hey, we developed nuclear weapons already. They already said it. Then they took it back. And then they took that back. Am I wrong?
No, it's completely true. And
okay.
And they were like, we've got him. What are you going to do about it?
Right, exactly. Now, it's like you're in a position of like, okay, we want to stop Saddam Hussein from getting this technology. But if it were up to me and I were president, we wouldn't be in either theater. It's a waste of money.
Right.
I'd wait until they screwed up, and then I'd make the Middle East beg us to come over there and save them. Then I'd make them pay the bill.
No, so we have this whole weird preemptive thing. When left to their own devices, those people are going to end up... I mean, just the rest... If we can just say, well, there's America and then there's the rest of the world. The rest of the world, left to its own devices, is so unstable that they're going to end up nuking themselves eventually anyway.
Yeah,
and then
we can just come
over, put a big fence around it, and we'll make it like Montana 2.
And if we did... Let's say we did drop Saddam Hussein and went to Korea.
Yeah.
We built up all our troops on the border. South Korea panics.
Mm-hmm.
In a panic, they destroy Seoul. The rest of the world says it was our fault for escalating the situation.
Well, it always ends up being our fault somehow. Yeah, no matter what we do, it's America.
We give you billions of dollars for disaster relief, and we let your students come here to go to college so they can build up bombs to blow up airliners over Scotland.
Yeah, it's true. It's exactly true. You're dead on about that. It's Corey in the coup. All right. 1-800-727-5955. Yeah, seriously, if we just were to sit out and just wait like 10 or 15 years, the rest of the world, I mean, they're all going to reduce each other to ashes within, you know, the next decade or two anyway. And then we can just go over there and, you know, put up, you know, Jerusalem Disney or whatever. You know, whatever it is we do. Cameron, you're in... I'm just saying, look, in the future, everything's going to be a Disney theme park anyway. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm not happy about it. It's just the way it's going to be. There's already Euro Disney. There's going to be, eventually there's going to be like Hamas Disney and...
They're in the process of starting one in China.
Yeah.
Really? They've got the rights to do it. No kidding.
Yeah. Okay, whatever you say. Cameron in the Beav. What's up?
Hey, just got a quick question. What about the millions of people who stayed home on that march, man? What about why aren't they in the news?
Jesus, I'm glad they did because I couldn't have gotten anywhere. It was all I could do to get to Rocco's for a slice, man, because it was like 30,000 people blocking the streets down there.
Well, I realize it. Well, why don't we have to talk about the million people who stayed home and support Bush?
Well, because then that would be the lead, because that would be the news every day then. Because then every day it would be like lots of people stayed home today, and now sports.
I realize that, but think about the poor guy sitting in a foxhole having to go over and fight and watches the news, and he sees a small little minority on the news, and he thinks his country is supposed to be, you know, hey, they're behind me, and all of a sudden, wham, we look at the news, and here you rant about how bad Bush is.
You know what? As far as I'm concerned, I'm more supporting of the troops than everybody else.
Sound that way.
Well, let me finish. As far as I'm concerned... and when I say we, I mean we people who, you know, people who are opposed to going in there and having a preemptive war. Mm-hmm. I think we support our troops the most because we want to bring them home and keep them safe.
Well, you know what? I think we did nothing and we got September 11th happened.
What?
We did nothing.
What, are you reading the other guy's playbook? Do you need a megaphone to go with that?
What's that?
We did nothing because the world was a really peaceful place before September 11th.
Bush didn't do anything, or Clinton didn't do anything, and all September 11th, or he's trying to take care of some problems.
Yeah, Clinton never did anything. Clinton never launched like massive airstrikes into Kosovo, but that never happened. Yeah, the world was a completely peaceful place before September 11th. There was no war at all before then. It was absolutely nobody was dying, nobody was getting killed before September 11th. It's the first violence that ever happened anywhere. All right.
Well,
this is Tim Riley in the KOTK. That's Cameron.
In honor of MLK Day, Disney presents The Color of Friendship. White students raised in apartheid visit black families. And also, Michael Jackson's 30th anniversary special is on tonight, too.
I'm going to skip that one. It's too easy.
The Color of Friendship is a great movie.
The Color of Friendship.
It was on the Disney
Channel. Sounds like a Benetton ad. All right, we got more on the way, including the top five whitest musical acts of all time. Jolie from the front desk. Later on, Jim Roop with the Golden Globes coverage. Stay there. We'll be back. It's a Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.